thump, she heard the chirping again, and she relaxed. Evidently, it was just a bird flying in the window to get out of the rain. Costa Rican said that when a bird came to visit a newborn child, it brought good luck. Elena opened the door. The infant lay on a wicker bassinet swaddled in a light blanket, only its face exposed. Around the rim of the bassinet, three dark green lizards crouched like gargoyles. When they saw Elena, they cocked their heads and stared curiously at her, but did not flee. In the light of her flashlight, Elena saw the blood dripping from their snouts. Softly chirping, one lizard bent down and with a quick shake of its head tore a ragged chunk of flesh from the baby. Elena rushed forward, screaming, and the lizards fled into the darkness. But long before she reached the bassinet, she could see what had happened to the infant's face, and she knew the child must be dead. The lizards scattered into the rainy night, chirping and squealing, leaving behind only bloody three-toed tracks, like birds. The Shape of the Data. Later, when she was calmer, Elena Morales decided not to report the lizard attack. Despite the horror she had seen, she began to worry that she might be criticized for leaving the baby unguarded. So she told the mother that the baby had asphyxiated, and she reported the death on the form she sent to San Jose as SIDS, Sudden Infant Death Syndrome. This was a syndrome of unexplained death among very young children. It was unremarkable, and her report went unchallenged. The university lab in San Jose that analyzed the saliva sample from Tina Bowman's arm made several remarkable discoveries. There was, as expected, a great deal of serotonin, but among the salivary proteins was a real monster, molecular mass of 1,980,000, one of the largest proteins known. Biological activity was still under study, but it seemed to be a neurotoxic poison related to cobra venom, although more primitive in structure. The lab also detected trace quantities of the gamma-aminomethionine hydrolase. Because this enzyme was a marker for genetic engineering and not found in wild animals, technicians assumed it was a lab contaminant and did not report it when they called Dr. Cruz, the referring physician in Punta Arenas. The lizard fragment rested in the freezer at Columbia University, awaiting the return of Dr. Simpson, who was not expected for at least a month, and so things might have remained had not a technician named Alice Levin walked into the tropical diseases laboratory, seen Tina Bowman's picture, and said, "Oh, whose kid drew the dinosaur?"
"What?"
Richard Stone said, turning slowly toward her.
"The dinosaur. Isn't that what it is? My kid draws them all the time."
"This is a lizard," Stone said, "from Costa Rica. Some girl down there drew a picture of it."
"No," Alice Levin said, shaking her head. "Look at it. It's very clear. Big head, long neck, stands on its hind legs, thick tail. It's a dinosaur."
"It can't be. It was only a foot tall."
"So? There were little dinosaurs back then," Alice said. "Believe me, I know. I have two boys. I'm an expert. The smallest dinosaurs were under a foot. Teenysaurus or something, I don't know. Those names are impossible. You'll never learn those names if you're over the age of 10.
"You don't understand," Richard Stone said. "This is a picture of a contemporary animal. They sent us a fragment of the animal. It's in the freezer now." Stone went and got it and shook it out of the baggie. Alice Levin looked at the frozen piece of leg and tail, then shrugged. She didn't touch it.